Rising, and Friends of Geminis to Inner Space, the Planet Waves, 2023 annual readings. This, of course, is the audio department of those readings. I was wondering if I had the energy to do this, and I took a look at the chart, and I'm looking right at the moon conjunct the galactic center, and I'm thinking, let's take that ride and see what comes out. A couple of points of invocation. My stormy weather sound effects, I don't know if anybody's going to get that joke, describe the times we're living in, these very stormy times where we don't necessarily see the source of the turbulence. I'm sure that 99.9% of the people don't see the source of the extreme chaos that is infiltrating our lives right now. And this, as you may know if you follow my work, is I think the product of the digital realm and the ways that it is completely destabilizing intellect, culture, society, individuals, our relationships, our ability to express ourselves and love each other. And it's difficult to deal with a problem that doesn't have a name, and that is not identified. If you don't see the issue, then you can't address the issue. And I know that not everyone will agree with me, except that certainly these past 20 years have been unbelievably tumultuous. Really, take that back to September 11th, where it has just been one ever-increasing in pace episode of disaster capitalism after the next. And like, we're just people, you know, we're just humans who want to live and have some fun, and some of us want to make a contribution and deserve the privilege of doing so. And it's getting hard. There are so many sources of pressure and so many crazy makers. And if you haven't noticed, I have, that many of the people with the most power and the most wealth are absolutely psychotic. And this is, talk about the trickle-down theory. I mean, this is the thing that is trickling down. Okay, so that said, thing two. I'm going to work up to the kind of central astrology of this year, many years going forward, which is Pluto in Aquarius. And it's the thing in the background of everything that I'm saying. And it is the most unusual thing that we've never, ever experienced before, because Pluto was discovered in 1930. Nobody had a clue of a Pluto when the last time it was in Aquarius, or really up till 1930, there was said to be nothing going on out there. So there is, and then Pluto is, and I think that Pluto has the full force and effect of a planet. The fact that it's been made into a minor planet is kind of a joke, because the minor planets are exceptionally powerful if you know what to look for, and these some of them are very active in your chart. And it is my greatest wish that we take Pluto on the high side, on the evolutionary side. It wasn't Jeff Green who first proposed that Pluto has a spiritual aspect that he described, and I do agree with this, that Pluto describes the evolutionary journey of the soul. Now, it's not the only thing that does. Chiron, very much about the evolutionary journey of the soul. But I think the point is well made. And he was not the first person to say something like that. As far as I know, The first person to say something like that was Isabel Hickey in a monograph I've actually got a copy of it on a bookshelf that's about 15 feet away. And I think it was called Pluto or Minerva, The Choice is Yours. And what she said was, and she noticed this the year before Pluto was recognized to be a binary influence, i.e. they thought it was two points, Pluto and Charon, not Chiron, Charon, the ferryman of the dead. And now we know that it's six. There's Nix and Hydra and then two other points, and it's six points orbiting a common barycenter. So there is no planet, there is no moon. It is a planetary system, and it is a thing that Isabel said has the dark manifestation of raw power, and the option to manifest Pluto as part of the wisdom tradition. And Minerva is a wisdom goddess, an extension of Athena, but it's a little bit different in terms of being a weaver. Minerva her name is Sulis Minerva. In addition to being a wisdom figure, she was a weaver, and a weaver is a storyteller, and a weaver is a form of a healer by the fabrication of cohesion. By fabrication, I mean the making into a fabric of cohesion. And we are in for quite a ride with Pluto in Aquarius. I don't think people are prepared for this. I was just leafing through my Facebook, and someone had a meme that said, the dots are so close together they're practically touching, but people still can't put them together. To understand the nature of what is being created by and imposed on us through the total saturation of every facet of our lives, with the exception of maybe making a cup of tea, but it was probably paid for on a digital card. Lost my train of thought there. She's saying that the choice is ours, how we manifest this. And when we're talking about Aquarius, we're talking about an influence that's going to come across a lot of people. And we will either, one by one, be crushed by whatever this is, or we will choose to be individual men and women and stand up to this thing, whatever this thing is, whatever new form this behemoth takes. And we'll have a lot of information by April Fool's Day. We'll have a sense of what's going on with this, because Pluto ingresses Aquarius for the first of three times in late March of 2023. So actually, while I'm rambling here, I'll start a second time with Mars retrograde about to station direct in your sign. But while we've introduced the topic of Pluto in Gemini, Pluto in Aquarius. This is I may make some mistakes. I'm a little tired, but this does seem like the time to do this reading. The Aquarius is your ninth place, ninth house. I use the words house and place interchangeably, and I'm starting to bring that into my writing also. There's really, the word house does not really appear in classical astrology. And the ninth is about your spiritual orientation. The ninth is about things like higher self, God concept, spiritual affiliation, higher education, sense of truth and justice and law. And you have Aquarius there. And the presence of Aquarius as the ninth place is suggesting to me, anyway, in the magnificent beauty of the solar chart. It's not just a thing that happens to work. The solar chart tells us what the signs are all about. relative to one another. And so you have in place nine, Aquarius, that's your God concept, your higher self concept. And Aquarius is a power to the people idea of spirituality and religion rather than a power to the establishment, the old man in the sky, the guru who manifests a little magical ashes or goes in the back room and buys film at 47th Street Photo, even though he's really in India, by locating, that's a Sai Baba story. Your idea of spirituality is much more mundane. People. It's us. It's about us. This is our planet, our life, our experience, our journey. And there's something inherently spiritual, inherently, meaning it carries the concept itself in people being together, cooperating, experiencing life, and experiencing each other. Now, this is rarely recognized as having the influence that it should. In many ways, it is what prevails, because it is ultimately we who decide, even if we decide that some, you know, whatever is going to tell us what to do, we still decide that. However, I think that there's a better way to say this, a better expression of this, which is that we must consciously be together and decide and make our choices and understand what it means to be together on this planet. And I don't need to put too sharp of a point on the ways in which we have been little other than driven apart the past 3 years. You know, it's possible to say, well, I had a good reason for all of this. If anybody knows anything about the history of public health knows there's never been a time in the history of the entire concept of public health, which goes back centuries. The concept of public health is canonical. It's the Jewish part of the Bible tells you all kinds of ways to not get food poisoning. I kind of think that's clever. We do not need to be told not to meet our friends in the garden. Once they say you can't meet your friends in the garden, outside, everybody's healthy, you know it's about something other than public health. And over again, now coming up on 3 years, we have been torn asunder, groups have been suppressed, households have been suppressed, families, the original group, Aquarius, have been suppressed over and over and over again. The very thing that you hold the most dear, the very thing that you understand to be the inherent essence of spirituality, all of us here, our relationships, our planet, our friendships, our bonding, our ability to join forces and combine resources and solve our problems and build villages and build towns and create businesses and services and clean water and sewers, we do this together, not individually. And anyone who wants us to be separated and not to do this with each other and for each other has another agenda. And I would suggest, if you're not already taking it personally, to really take this personally, because it's personal. Personal about every person. And so for the past 3 years, through this fiasco, there has actually been a stabilizing influence of Saturn in Aquarius. Now, I know there's a lot of ways to read this. You can have an interesting debate of astrologers over like whether Saturn in Aquarius since March of 2020 was a good thing or a bad thing, whether it would have been better or worse. But Saturn in Aquarius is at least going to be a stabilizing influence. And I think that we've experienced a kind of a stability that we wouldn't have experienced with Saturn, not in Aquarius, of course, this is when it all happened. and was, you know, one of the resources we've had to work with. Now, Saturn is leaving Aquarius, and it is about to cross the solar 10th house cusp in your chart, if you're Gemini rising, the whole sign 10th place, Pisces, where it will be for 2.5, 3 more years, three years, no more. It hasn't gotten there yet. It hasn't been there since the early 1990s. And this is about you taking up a whole new dimension of public responsibility. Public responsibility. Not everybody wants that. Not everyone's interested in that. Not everyone identifies with that. Most of the people that do put on monkey suits and act like politicians and then rip you off. So the claim of public responsibility usually is a fraudulent claim. Right around the time that that happens, something else happens in Aquarius, which is Pluto enters Aquarius. And I think that ninth house, Pluto Aquarius, is one of the best manifestations of that. There's a couple that seem like they're going to be a little easier to deal with than others. And I think in the ninth, in Aquarius, Pluto has a comprehensible context. It is frameable. It is understandable as the spiritual process that it is. And it's going to... Pluto added to the energy field of Aquarius is going to kind of excite the entire energy field of Aquarius, and which is a social field, and it is a field of social patterns. Right? One of the main things Aquarius does is it is a pattern-forming influence. And because Aquarius is about people, groups, for example, it's also about the social patterns that people form. And when we add Pluto to that, we're going to get a number of different manifestations, one of which is another attempt, or an endless, for some of us, the rest of our lives, series of events of the seeming majority, but even though they're not, trying to take power over everyone else. Or, alternately, the place where the individual awakens to their individuality in the midst of a kind of a collective experience of some kind, or a collective trauma of some kind, or some kind of an influence that is going to affect the millions. And while this thing is going on, affecting the millions, comes the opportunity for people to individuate and stand up to this. Now, we've been through a massive dress rehearsal for this. I don't think that we have enough data to kind of grade society on how it did. But I will say that we're probably in around the C-plus range, because it wasn't as bad as it could have been, which would have been like C minus D or F. And it certainly wasn't as good as it could have been. Could have been a lot better, but it could have been a lot worse. So when you could be a lot better and could be a lot worse, you're kind of at average. You're at a C, but we have experience. People have learned. Many more people are awake than were awake in February of 2020. People who blindly did what they were told and got hurt, they're more likely to be awake. People who did connect the dots, they're more likely to be awake. People who were banished from holidays, they're more likely to be awake. People who've watched loved ones fall prey to these mitigation measures, they're more likely to be awake. And so whatever else has happened, this shock and concussion that has moved through society has prepared the ground for the possibility of what Pluto will represent at its best, which will be exceptionally important to you, which is a group initiation. And while this is happening, first 3 years anyway, Saturn crosses your 10th. This is a get serious, wake the fuck up transit. And the reason it's a get serious, wake the fuck up transit is because we need it, but also because the thing that's been influencing Pisces and your 10th, your house of reputation, of power, of authority, and of your aspirations, has been Neptune creating a complete fog. Barbara Hanclough, one of my old friends and teachers, called it the elephant in the room. And I'm thinking, yeah, I've been thinking that quite a bit. Nobody's even talking about the influence of Neptune in Pisces on this whole shit show. And so Saturn is answering Neptune in Pisces. Saturn is the thing that is going to cut the grease and the fog and the chaos and the confusion of Neptune in Pisces and bring a moment of clarity, I think. And what is so interesting is that Saturn is going to be in Pisces, your 10th, your house of where you connect with society, for the duration of Neptune in Pisces. So much so that Neptune enters Aries, and then right after that happens, there's a Saturn-Neptune conjunction in the first degree of Aries. Astounding chart. The third ingress of Neptune into Aquarius is accompanied by Pisces. And so for the duration of Neptune in Pisces, you will have something above you to sight or spot yourself with, something to grab onto, and the ability to focus your intentions, to focus your power, your personal authority, and to do one of the things that Saturn is very best at, which is saying, now is the time to take action. So this action is a morph of personal and collective. It is time to take the work that you do much more seriously, to commit yourself fully to honoring the Dharma, and to recognizing that ultimately you must be the main authority in your life in terms of your power to seek your own spiritual guidance. Right? I mean, whatever your belief structure may be, there are certainly higher authorities than an individual, but there's no higher authority in the individual to make choices from within. And that's what you will have with Saturn in Pisces answering this kind of amorphous, floaty, weird Neptune in Pisces and Nessus in Pisces, a very Neptune-like centaur discovered in coming up on its 30th anniversary next year. That Saturn will be this kind of, it is not merely a squeegee, though it will clear off the windshield. It is as much a destination. It is as much a, really, a bestowal of a mantle of power. And in the style of Pisces, that must be spiritual power. And it must be a power where you recognize that there is a necessity to extend the power to the people concept of Aquarius to even more of the people, Pisces, and take leadership in your community, in your life, and in your world. All right, let's take a short break. I think And I fear that the dots that people are not putting together are the extent to which there's some people who really don't want us to be free at all. This is an old problem in the human story. The tyrants and the oppressors rise up on a regular basis. But now they have all of this global reach and digital power. And you have the perspective that this is a spiritual problem. It is not a health problem. It is not a political problem. Ultimately, it's not even a social problem, though that is the first manifestation. This is a spiritual crisis. And Pluto entering Aquarius will help you tap that wisdom. Okay, next case. We begin the year with Mars retrograde in your sign. Overall, unusual and intriguing situation to have Mars retrograde in Gemini, to be working the two halves of that equation, the direct retrograde direct. There is this interesting twist to the Mars retrograde process. Now, remember that Mars is in your sign. It comes other from other places. Mars rules Aries, coming from your 11th. The social, we're going to go there probably next. Mars comes from your 6th, work and well-being. It's a very important planet in your chart. Mars is connected to the work that you do and your meaningful expression of yourself in society. And the Aries part, when I come back to that, is the solar charts wink and giggle explanation of why Gemini is so social, because that's where you feel the best. You manifest as a social being and you actually feel like yourself. Now, what Mars retrograde is doing is pulling this interior. It's pulling this into an inner dimension. It's pulling this to the space where, like, it is a kind of a pull. It's a tug. It's an invitation to the place where you have to find that or kind of like reconcile with that, all that within yourself. Okay, so the intriguing thing of many things about this Mars retrograde is it's making three squares to Neptune. And there has never been, that I have seen, a bigger get real series of events in astrology from the personal standpoint, from the standpoint of we have to stop deceiving ourselves. Haven't we had enough of this? Aren't we tired of living lives of self-deception and having our self-deception used against us over and over and over and over again? So Mars retrograde in your sign is really one of the great things to happen to you, and it is very strongly suggestive of a get real approach. Now, the get real part of this, besides the retrograde itself, which would be do a good job of anyway, is the hooks to Neptune. And I had said previously that Saturn entering Pisces for the duration of Neptune's visit to Pisces is going to be very helpful and help you clear the fog of Neptune. But there is still something external about the 10th house. There's nothing external about the first house in the first, like, 10 chapters of the story. In the first 10 chapters of the first house, this is all about your relationship to yourself. And so with Mars doing this hook to Neptune, this too is a highly focused awakening about understanding the insidious ways that people take power over people, including you. It is a representative of an act of rebellion, and the act of rebellion is to wake up and to recognize what this influence is. It is rarely named, right? The bigger things are, the harder they are to name, the harder they are to see, the harder they are to notice. So Neptune Pisces is a big influence, but when you personalize it and focus it with Mars right there, that makes it personal. That makes it real. That is not just a windshield wiper. That is kind of like taking a flamethrower to Neptune and just burning off that gaseous material and choosing to wake the fuck up. When Neptune stations direct, January 12th, it will then work its way across the entire sign, well, the entire zone of your of Gemini where it was retrograde, and then in late March will enter Cancer. Along the way, it makes a conjunction to Aspolus. Aspolus is a Centaur planet. I believe it is the 1994 model Centaur. There was Chiron in 97, Pholus Chiron 77, Pholus 92, Nessus, which I mentioned above, 93, Aspolus 94, and I believe Cariclo 95. So the first group of five Centaurs, really you don't need any other ones. That group tells the entire story. Is about the thing that all life has in common, which is the desire to survive. Now, one interesting thing is happening in outer planet news, because not a heck of a lot of outer planet news going on in Gemini, there has been, in case you haven't noticed it, since 2001, the influence of the minor planet Chaos in your sign. But this is not like pandemonium chaos. This is Chaos, the Greek creation god, the firmament, the fertile void, the churning, material of the universe that forms stars and planets and people and donkeys and things like this. That moved into Cancer as well. But now, in the course of 22 and 23, Aspolus, this centaur about survival, about the drive to live, the reason why plants reach for the light and little bugs want to survive and don't want to get sprayed with poison and chickens want to live and everything that lives wants to live, enters your house of your priorities, Cancer. And there's an inference here, first of all, that you must prioritize your desire to live and thrive and survive. You must focus this in your home, and that your emotional response to situations is the most important thing to measure, mediate, and contemplate. So there is this outer planet transit, and it ends, I mean, to have both Chaos leaving your sign, just happened in, it looks to me like it happened in late 22, and Aspolus leaving your sign is definitely a change. It will definitely lighten things up a bit for you, and it'll place that outer planet styled evolutionary emphasis in an angle of your chart where you actively, consciously prioritize. This is very important. It is a theme that is running through almost every sign. The theme of prioritization is running through almost every sign. Of knowing what comes first. Okay, so that is a look at the action going on in Gemini. We've talked about Mars. We've talked about Aspolus and Chaos moving into this kind of very fertile angle of your chart, which is the sign Cancer. Let's consider what's going on in Aries. So, every time I do one of these readings, I love the solar chart system more and more. And the solar chart system is the system that says where there's Gemini, then Cancer comes second, and Leo comes third, and Virgo comes fourth, and so forth. And then where there's Cancer, Leo comes second, and Virgo comes third, and all this. And what these solar charts do is they tell us how the entire sign as an archetype works as informed by all the other signs and all the other circumstances of all the other houses and all the ways in which you express yourself. And what we find is that you have Aries in the 11th place. The 11th place is most social in the chart. It is where there's the benefits of your friendships, the benefits of your reputation, the benefits of the people that you know, and of being known. And to have Aries here is to give you the privilege of being extraordinarily comfortable around people. I mean, I've seen this, and I know there are Geminis who just want to crawl in a hole, but there's not that many of them, right? Gemini is the first human sign, right? There's a first we meet a ram, and then we meet a cow. Okay. Not until day 61 of the journey, right? We've already lived through two of the 12 signs. Day 61, when Gemini begins, oh, it's a human sign. But the joke is, there's not one person, there's two. So two show up at once. So there's this inherent symbol of your sign as being social. But we see this said several ways. I gave my rant on Aquarius on the 9th as your spirituality, power of the people, spirituality. But you tend to seek yourself, Aries. That's what we do with Aries, is we seek ourselves in a place where there's other people. Other people meaning in a social context, in a social environment. And there's a lot happening in this social environment. There is a kind of a self-actualization festival happening in Aries. And the person who called the party is Chiron. And Jupiter, that started in 2018. And so this is, let's say, increase the necessity for there to be a true devotion to self-actualization. And it's rare to find in the world. People are not that interested in really finding out, committing to, and becoming and thoroughly living the truth of who they are. It's a pain in the ass. And it makes you make decisions that are not going to be popular, that are not going to be appreciated by everyone. And at a certain point, you got to say, that's nice. You, I'm me. You're not me and I'm not you. I got to do this thing. I got to be this person, mostly. Really about being more than it's about doing. And Chiron for you has accelerated this, and it is brought you into a kind of a healer role in a community context. This is theme of community is left, right, and center in these charts, your chart. Chiron called the party. Jupiter is now showed up to the party for a approximately almost 5-month run through Aries. And so this is going to magnify and enlarge that process and also serve as a magnet for you to hold space in community context. So I don't know if you're interested in this. I don't know if it's on your agenda, but this is what I'm seeing in your chart. This is the thing that is happening. And my assessment of Aries, because of the presence of Eris for the past century. I just checked this a couple of months ago. I was absolutely astounded to see that Eris began its ingress into Aries in 1922. Now, it took it like 4 or 5 years to fully get there. It went in and out, back and forth between Pisces and Aries over and over again. But the first time Eris touched Aries was in 1922, 100 years ago. And this has been about the dismantling of self. It has been about the tribalization of society. It has been about the slow grinding down of people feeling significant at all. And this is all, I believe, the result of electrical media decentralizing us and reducing us to irrelevance. And I would note that most of this competition you see. Most of this me was one way on social media. Now there's this new kind of social blogging called Substack. It's really quite a fantastic system. But there's a lot of shitheads vying for supremacy of how they're the most important person in the whole wide world. There's a whole gaggle of these Substackers who are just like, you know, I have a, I have a Substack post going making fun of them. Let me tell you what I'm calling them. I'm calling them the, it's in my rough draft. Yes, here we go. The courageously risking everything, unbiased, uncensored, free speech, truth you can't get anywhere else. I'm the real deal, reader-supported industrial complex. Me. I and I alone have the truth. This is an expression of the struggle for relevancy, and it is the desperate quest of people to not be nobody. You know that you're not nobody. Chiron and Aries in your in your 11th can be edgy, can raise the question, but at least the question's asked. At least the question is inevitable. And at least there's going to be some friction, dialogue, crisis, healing, experience associated with Chiron in Aries. So that's going to hold for several more years. We're sort of right at the midpoint of Chiron we're not even there. As of today, Chiron's at 11 degrees, 56 minutes retrograde. It's got solid 5 more years in Aries, and there's going to be some real fireworks in 26 and 27, thanks to the Chiron-Eris conjunction. It's going to happen in your 11th. So position yourself for this. Know that it is game on. The powers that be have thrown down. When they say, if you go to the gym at 10:01 p.m., we'll arrest you, they've thrown down. That's what was done to us. So the leadership needed is not formal leadership. The type of leadership needed is the kind that you're best at, which is informal social leadership. It is the difference between the warden of the prison and the most powerful prisoner in the prison. The warden of the prison controls certain things, but the most influential prisoner in the prison, whom no one elected, who does not exist in the state constitution, but who has influence, is arguably just as powerful as the warden, who's just got this bureaucratic role, and all he's got is like 100 guards who count on him to make sure their paycheck is signed. Not even that. So the need for informal social leadership is absolutely crucial right now. And it is the thing that you have and the thing that you are able to offer really as well as or far better than anyone. Okay, so that's all that. In the last segment, I want to talk about two things. One is I want to talk a little bit about what's been going on in Capricorn, and which is your eighth place, very important, complicated house, the most complicated house, and Venus retrograde in Leo after a little music.
Thank you.
Cap and Leo. Two signs of remarkable Saturnian similarity. I know that Leo's ruled by the Sun and Capricorn's ruled by Saturn, but there's I've noticed a similar formal quality, a kind of a reserved dignity that is reflective of these signs. Okay, so they're both highlighted very important in your chart right now. Let's quickly review what's gone on in Capricorn, your eighth place, eighth house, in your solar chart. So you've had Pluto barreling through here for about 15 years. That starts in 2008, and it's remarkably challenging. I mean, it's challenging enough having Capricorn on the eighth, because the eighth is the can you hear that? That's my canine friend Jonah Kelly Francis drinking out of his office water dish. I went up and got him. Gotta have a critter around for the Gemini reading, since Gemini rules small animals. The eighth is where other people enter the chart. It is the house of the in-laws. It is the house of the marriage partners. It is the house of bankers. It is the original take on the eighth by Lilly in the first ever textbook in English, astrology textbook, Death, Dowry, and the Substance of the Bride. So it's about legacies, wills, and estates, and inheritances, and it has a sexual dimension, which can be stifled by Capricorn. Now, Capricorn has two sides. It has its very saucy, devilish side, and then it has its kind of priggish side. Now, Pluto has been here for 15 years, and Pluto can have a kind of a Dionysian aspect to it. I learned this from Rick Levine, the author of Cosmos and Psyche, who talks about the Dionysus expression of Pluto in the form of people like Mick Jagger and Jim Morrison. Very astute observation, I thought. And it gives us another take on Pluto and Aquarius, because we really do need some Dionysus. We really do need to penetrate the extreme moralism of this digital age. Anyway, you've had Pluto going through Capricorn since 2008, and this has certainly done quite a bit to rearrange and dismantle these relationships that are in your life. And in many ways, I think it may have liberated you from them and broken the structures that have held you. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean this was easy or pleasant. It can be very tough on structured relationships like marriages and relationships to the family of the marriage partner, which is what the eighth is. However, mostly done, and now, and I have not. Every time I try to read this aspect structure, I'm going to put a little green arrow next to it here from the number eight, which I'm going to circle, and put a little green arrow pointing to a grouping of planets in your early eighth, early Capricorn, Ixion, reading from the outside in, Ixion, Pholus, Quasar, and Cupido. Cupido, a weird planet without a body, hypothetical planet, but I like it, and it's in there. This is calling you deeper into matters of family. This is calling you into the truly, you might say the ghost in the machine of the family legacy and family structure, as opposed to the machine, the bookshelves, the dusty stuff, the trunks, the attics, the wills, lay estates, and legacies. Well, there is actually something coming through from the ancestral realm, though it may be coming in from an odd direction. That is to say, you may have adopted someone else's ancestors as your own. You may be the beneficiary of some ancestral inheritance other than your own. There's a kind of an opportunity to put some of these elements back together. But really what I suggest is that you go deep here and recognize, essentially meet the wisdom or potential wisdom. It's not always there. often not there, but look for it in the people who come into your life through others, through business and marital partners, both business and marital partners, including exes, including people who are former, you know, families of former partners. Okay, one last idea to bring in here. So there's going to be a rare retrograde of Venus. Venus is retrograde the least of all the planets, about 8% of the time. It's retrograde in Leo every 8 years. I skipped one in one of my assessments of when Venus was retrograde in Leo. I missed the most recent one, I think, because it started in Virgo. But anyway, there's going to be a solid Venus retrograde in Leo that takes place mid-year. I believe it spans from early June to early October. The retrograde itself is in the middle of that. That's the total duration of the time that Venus is in Leo, about 4 months. And guess what? It's another sigil, invitation, reminder of your role in community and your role as a community benefactor. So you have Leo on the 3rd. So the 3rd is your neighbors, your brethren, and the people you conduct local commerce with. Neighbors, brethren, local commerce. As an extension of that, it's also about communication, ideas, postcards, calling cards, and any form of local, not long distance, that would be Aquarius, for you, communication. So Venus retrograde in Leo in your 3rd is saying, keep your interests close to home. Keep your interests close to your community for maximum benefit. We need to be doing more of this. We need to be transacting more cash. We need to be staying within walking distance or a short driving distance to our homes as much as humanly and reasonably possible. And Venus's retrograde is going to serve as a reminder of this. And Mars is going to pass through the territory also. And so this is just saying, make home in your neighborhood. I know people are very quick to jump on airplanes and, you know, we can now, you know, order cumin directly from India. That's kind of cool. But still, local is real. Local is what matters. What does not require the internet, where you can bring a coin and purchase something from a person and they give you a receipt and smile and say thank you and you know their name, that's third house. So the retrograde of Venus here, and this is saying to me as well, I mean, I think that in our day and age, writing, not writing emails, not writing tweets, not writing Instagram posts, but writing something that you might work on for days or weeks is one of the most important spiritual practices that there is. And the reason for that is because writing is an internally directed quest. It is, therefore, helping us create an opening of interior space. It is detribalizing. It is highly individuating. It is helping you define and refine your viewpoint and your opinion as apart from the viewpoint and the opinion of everyone else. You would, therefore, potentially hand that to someone to read, which under the copyright law is publication. You give it to one person, it's been published. I thought about this a lot. What else could count for publication? 10 copies? A million copies? No, it has to be one copy, then it's published. So even if you're publishing to one person, that is an individual statement of your consciousness, your state of mind, and your reality. And this retrograde is, I think, going to be good for your state of mind. There's a review phase there. I think that the placement of the fire signs for Gemini is very helpful. 11th house, Aries, that's your social nature. 3rd house, Leo, that's also social. That's your state of mind. It is your confidence in speaking, your confidence in communicating, your confidence in writing in any form. And then Sagittarius on the seventh house. Now, it might seem like seventh being relationships, partnerships, intimate one-on-one bondings. And it might seem like there's not a lot going on in Sag. There's not planet-wise, there's not really a lot going on in Sag. The planets are on the other side of the solar system right now. But Jupiter is always the representative of Sagittarius. And so if you're looking for information about your relationships, then you look to Jupiter for that information. What you find when you look to Jupiter for information about your relationships is you find it in the 11th house. And so there's a de-emphasis of one-on-one romantic relationships and an emphasis on social relationships, but that does not in any way rule out the meeting of new partners. Rather, it tells you where to find them, and where to find them is in the social realm. The other thing is that Jupiter also rules Pisces, your 10th house. Well, if you're looking to build reputation, if you're looking to make contacts and connections and to basically make yourself available or to find people who need you to be available, once again, that is going to take place in the 11th house in Aries. So there's a sort of concentration of influence on the side of your chart where you do a lot of encountering others. Really, this whole story kind of spans all the way from Aquarius to Leo, keeps giving the same message over and over again. And so to me, it looks like a truly productive time for you. This will be, despite any disruptions or disturbances or let's say foul play that we may experience in the next 12 months, of which I think there's a fairly high probability that we're going to do so. But we're going to need, if that happens, any more than it's already happening ongoing, we're going to need, our communities, our society, our world is going to need people who know how to explain this to people in a clear way, to say, look, connect the dots. Here's what's going on. And Geminis are almost always fantastic communicators. You know, whether you love these people or hate them, some of the most memorable presidents of the United States in our approximate lifetimes, Kennedy, Reagan, and Trump, were all Geminis. And they had a persuasive ability. Whether you like what, Reagan and Trump are full of shit, but, because they were peddling something that they didn't necessarily really believe in. They're really both liberals when they fashioned themselves as conservatives because it was the thing to do. But still, they were able to communicate and they were able to persuade. And this is a gift that you have. I mean, just for experience the sheer joy of Gemini's ability to communicate, look up some John F. Kennedy speeches and press conferences and listen to this person put together words and express himself in such a way that people, first of all, that intelligent people were engaged and that you knew what he meant. You knew what he meant. And you have that gift. You have that gift in increasing concentration. Please, use it well. All right, that is all I have to say to you. You know where to find me, EFC at planetwaves.net. And I'll leave you with a little bit of outro music and thunder and rain. My original recordings of thunder and rain, actually. Not from a canned sound effects website. I managed to not ruin my microphones recording the rain. And I will see you over at a different sign or a different place and time on a different day. And I wish you lots of love and companionship in your life. Bye for now.